Andrés Piazza,
Andrés Piazza, Argentina.
In Hong Kong, I'm here to invite you to join in some way other places in the ICANN.
You just came in.
Buenas tardes, Rodrigo.
Rodrigo de la Paz from ICANN of the region of Latin America.
Ulrich, I'm director for At Large.
Gisela Gruber, ICANN staff.
Seth Green, ICANN staff.
Good afternoon, I'm Shiono Sepa, liaison for ICANN for the Caribbean.
Good afternoon, I'm Lyndall MacDonald, ICANN fellow.
Christina, please. Yeah.
Good afternoon. My name is Christina Rodriguez. I'm the Language Services Manager for ICANN.
Okay, thank you, everyone. I should ask, who else is on the bridge? So sorry.
Kent Crispin, technical guy at ICANN.
David Clausen, staff IT.
Thank you all. Eric.
My name is Eric Iriarte, fundador de LACRALO.
Good to see you, Eric. Is there anybody on the bridge? Confirm that, Matthias?
There are people on the bridge, but unfortunately it's not possible to turn up the volume at the moment because there's somebody in here, apparently, who's connected to the Adigo Bridge. So it creates a feedback, and they're not able to turn up the volume.
Okay.
So if anybody in here is connected to Adigo, for whatever reason, please stop.
Jose? Okay. Okay, and one more. Jose, quickly.
My name is... it's a presentation. I want to introduce myself.
Just introduce yourself, quickly.
Okay. My name is Jose Arce. I'm from Argentine. I don't know. So?
That's good enough.
Okay. This is my second time as a fellow here, so I'm very glad to be with all of you.
Good to have you. It's enough to say
Argentina. Thank you all. We do have some action items, but I know that the at-large staff...
Did you ask about who was on the bridge?
Yeah. That has some announcements and also a busy schedule. So we want to just move that to the top of the agenda, specifically the transitions that the at-large team will undergo within the next few weeks. Heidi, do you wish to summarize this?
Yes, thank you. As you know, we have Matthias leaving us after three very fruitful years at ICANN. He'll be actually leaving us at the end of this week. So in transition, we are going to bring Seth Green in. Now, those of you who have been active in the at-large improvements work teams will know Seth from his work as project manager for that program. So he's actually going to be covering all of the support for LACRALO from the 21st of March through at least, we're going to estimate, mid-June, end of June. Now, we're interviewing for two positions, one being the regional manager. So if that person or when that person is in place, that person will take over all five RALOs just like Matthias did. Okay. Now, also, I'm going to be away for 4 months on maternity leave. So in that time, that's going to be May through end of August. And during that time, Seth will be covering the ALAC and the executive committee activities. So we're going to ensure that we have full support for all of you again. You know, we don't want any kind of reduction, hopefully not too much of an improvement. So I'm welcome back. That's what the transition plan is, and we are very much working to get people in place on time so that there will be no interruption at all. Thanks.
Thank you, Heidi. Okay, let's now quickly look at the action items from the 17th of February, 2011. Actually, it's a very short list. Vanda would send the staff an email with the email address she would like to use. I presume, Vanda, was that done? Or is it just forgotten? Vanda? The action item regarding you would send an email to staff specifying which email address you wish to be added to the list. That was done?
Well, it's working now.
Okay. Okay, great. So that action item is done.
The only problem was when I stepped down from the board, they disconnected generally.
Ah.
So all the transitions through the ICANN just stop it.
I see.
And then start to starting with a lot of duplications, and that now it's work. Thank
Great.
You.
Excellent. So that's action item can be struck off. Sylvia, to forward the regional input to the SWOT analysis to work team C. I think I know that that has been done. And thanks you, Sylvia, for putting together the Google Doc and putting together the contributions from various members of LACVALO on that. So I know that has also been done. Okay. Item number three is the open public consultations. Well, there's like 12 policies that are out for comment. So does anyone wish to talk about any particular policy that is of interest to them? I know I have one.
Excuse me. Yes, Dev, first of all, I prefer to introduce Rodrigo and to have his presentation in order to then he can maybe leave.
Excellent idea, Andres. Sorry about that. And please, go ahead. Welcome.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much. In fact, I would like to take some minutes of your time to introduce myself. I am Rodrigo de la Parra. I am the new representative, regional representative of ICANN for Latin America. I have been working for ICANN since January 2010, so I am at your disposal because I want to be near the community in Latin America. And, of course, we want LACVALO. We believe LACVALO is a fundamental part for this model. So through the LACVALO and the chair of LACVALO, I would like to provide you with my personal information and contact information, and I am at your disposal. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Eric, you want to say something? Go ahead.
Sí, solamente para mencionar.
Yes, just to mention two things. First of all, I would like to say that the incorporation of Rodrigo for Latin America since the CTTLDs of the region is have its complete and fully support, but also a strong desire for the incorporation of the activities into the ICANN community. And this implies an acknowledgement of all the effort that the liaison for the Caribbean has done during this time, in which a period of time in which we didn't have a liaison for the continental region. And his family didn't want him to work so much, but I think it is important to thank Shernon for his efforts for the regions, which is sometimes unknown. So thank you very much.
Dev.
Sorry. Sergio, go ahead.
For the record, I think it would be interesting for us to say our name whenever we speak to be recorded. The previous speaker was Eric Iriarte. Thank you.
Okay, and this is Dave. Now, the next item on the agenda, open public consultations. I want to put that towards the end because I'll update from the and move to item agenda number four, which is the update from the ICANN San Francisco meeting. Since some of those policy discussions, public consultations, did take place or has been taking place in this week. Would anyone like to give a quick update on the San Francisco meeting. I can give a brief overview of the Sunday meeting. Elton, you would wish to try?
I could say a few things.
Great.
Thank you, Dev. The San Francisco 40th meeting for ICANN got off to, I would think, a good start. The anticipations of the issues that would have been compelling as kind of panning out. The big issue here is the outcome from the GAC board discussions in Brussels and the impact of that on the new GTLD program. In the LAC world, it is very interesting to note that in a LAC-GAC meeting yesterday afternoon, we had a confirmation from the GAC that they are very much interested in hearing from the at-large through ALAC our perspective on the GAC scorecard, which is the instrument that the GAC is using to track the status of the issues pertaining to the new GTLD program that they have been discussing with the board. The GAC, it appears, have accepted that the at-large and themselves do have commonality of interests in some areas. And they have actually invited the ALAC to respond formally to the GAC scorecard and to demonstrate for or against whether or not we agree with them on the issues, and if we do not agree, should show them where we don't agree. The vice chair for the ALAC, Evan Leibovich, who is from the North American region, I believe did an effective presentation of the at-large interests in that meeting. And I think it is principally because of that intervention, I believe, that the GAC now have a better understanding of where the at-large interests and their interests might coincide. So we are looking forward to having a fulsome report done for the GAC with regard to the positions they have put forward on the new GTLD program on that scorecard. Another issue that seems to be getting a lot of play is, of course, the whole matter of abuse, DNS abuse, and so on. So far, it appears, as you look at the actors, there is no consensus view, in my opinion, that the WHOIS record is indeed a very vital piece of information in the suppression or the management of DNS abuse. It appears that the law enforcement agencies have now made that the centerpiece of their attempts to manage, respond to DNS abuse. That's a good thing. The role of ICANN in regard to the RAA, which is the Registrar Accreditation Agreement, and how that might impact the validity, and I say validity, of WHOIS data seems to be now front and center of their concerns. That's a good thing for the at-large, I believe, because from the outset, the at-large position was that if we accept that the WHIS data is central to identity and reaction when there is abuse, then it is in ICANN's interest, and ICANN has a duty of care to ensure that the DNS at the WHIS record is valid. I think what you're hearing from law enforcement now underscores that perspective for us. So I think we're on the right track with that. There's a disquiet, I might say, for me, because there seems to be an attempt to conflate two issues. The one issue that seems to be conflated is an economic crime in the use of DNS by online pharmaceutical companies. In my view, that is a separate issue from the DNS abuse. I do not see that as a DNS abuse at all. The fact is, you can't buy anything online without a long transaction record created. Money center banks, and I mean money center banks, whether they appear in New York City or in London or in Paris or in Frankfurt or in Hong Kong or in Tokyo, are at the end of those transactions. It is required for settlement. And those of us, well, I'm an ex-banker, so I understand what settlement means. But when you make any transaction that involves money, the banking system is invoked to pay somebody or other. So the DNS works. If the DNS did not resolve, you could not have the transaction. So I believe, and this is my opinion now, but I believe that it's conflating two separate issues. In any event, I think it's a welcome addition to the at-large voice from the law enforcement Indeed. Organizations about the role of WHIS and the validity of the WHIS data in terms of managing and responding to DNS abuse. This afternoon, later on, we have a significant event off-site, as it were. This is the NCUC-sponsored town hall meeting, and I believe that the topic to be discussed there should be of interest to all of the at-large. So I would urge those of you who would have a yen to know more about what's happening, follow the links online from the ICANN 40 meeting page, and you might be able to join the conversations or at least gain some information from that meeting. The rest of the schedule is packed. Lots of us are trying to make as many meetings as we can outside of the at-large agenda, and hopefully we'll have more to tell you by the end of the week. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlton, and I agree with you regarding the importance of WHIS, that it has to be accurate and verifiable, so that otherwise...
So sorry.
I see Vanda wants to say something in response to that. But first, I want to just correct something, actually. Regards to that event, that Internet Town Hall event, it's on Tuesday, 15th of March. Yeah, not today. Later, okay. So just to confirm that. Vanda, go ahead.
Yes. Do we have the remote?
Carlton. I was attending the DNS abuse this morning, and I was puzzled about the position of Interpol. Did you heard about that?
Yeah.
So it was something we need to start to think, because it's something like, well, whatever you say is not convenient for the users. From my point of view, it's crime, it's done. If it gives some damage for the other, sorry about that. But a lot of innocent people were robbed in the jail, something like that. So it was, a little, we have a very huge debate about blocking and the consequences of blocking in the SAC. And, looks like it's, useless. Because whatever the community will do, it's not important for the authorities. And so that's freaked me out about that. So just to remember that. And I was also talk with Andres, if asking if Lacrallo paid attention on respond to the deadline for 31st of March. Yeah, for the policies.
Just to clarify, which policy are you referring to?
Yeah, Rod talked today about the IANA and the AOC things, and asking for everybody to put the opinion, blah, blah, blah. And I'm asking if we already have some position on that.
Go ahead, Carlton.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, Van, I like you heard the Interpol presentation. I was a little curious. I didn't want to say too much more about that because I think it requires a full discussion, and the WIS working group is going to be involved in this. It is quite interesting to note that the blocking mechanism that is a developer's one way to respond to DNS abuse. What happens is that Interpol apparently has a worst list of domains that are the worst perpetrators of this abuse, and apparently that list plus others can then be used by national authorities to block access to them. So it is a national kind of response, and everybody in the country would probably not be able to get it from the IP addresses that are connected to that country. It bears some analysis, I think, and as you say, Wanda, it is something for us to look at and see how it is. There's a CIRCUM group, I think they call it, and there are a lot of Northern European countries that are part of that group. I myself have not looked at the details of it, so I wouldn't want to say much more about it until then. Regarding the IANA contract, and I'm glad you brought it up again, Wanda, note well that the NTIA, which is the U.S. government agency that is overseeing the IANA contract arrangements, have put out the contract. The contract is up for renewal, and so there's a proposal to renew it, and they're asking for comments from interested parties. And if you go to the NTIA Department of Commerce website, you could find a link to that and so on. I think we did have it on the list. It was sent out on the list. This is on the Lacrallo discuss list. I believe it is a good opportunity for us to be to look at what the contract is offering, whether there are any changes that might be inimical to user interests, and it's not just the North American interests, but certainly our users in Latin America, Caribbean. I believe it would be good as Vande's suggestion, and I endorse that fully, for La Corallo to make a formal response to that, I believe. This is not within the ICANN construct, but I believe it is important enough for us to look at it with the view that we should make a collective response and submit some kind of comment on it. So I agree with Vande on that. Notwithstanding, because I had intended to make my own comment on it, speaking as an individual and from the, with my interests on it. So I am also going to suggest to you that those of you who do have an interest, a particular interest, should go and make comments at the NTIA website on this as well. I would encourage you to do that. In my own view, at this time, there are some stark choices, and it seems that there is an opportunity to leverage the renewal of the IANA contract against some things that are happening in the name and numbers management space. I won't say anything further on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlton and Vande. Heidi has also put in the chat that the NTIA notice of inquiry, there will be an at-large discussion at 1400 hours local time. So there will be an opportunity to hear some further, learn more about this issue. Sorry, you want to say?
Lo que Heidi dijo en el chat iba a decir también.
Heidi said that in the chat. Excuse me, this is Andreas speaking. On the one hand, evidently, Carlton and myself yesterday spoke about our interest in the IANA contract. The public comment period will be due on March 31st. I like Carlton's idea in that every single individual may voice their opinion in the public comment section. However, I do believe that we can aspire to a regional position on this issue. As regards the substance or the matter of this discussion, I believe that our regional position should be linked to what will happen tomorrow at the ALAC policy discussion. I think this is on the agenda, on the ALAC agenda for tomorrow. And the Latin American region is not excluded from this public interest. We are part of the global public interest. We have more voices that need to be heard, and evidently I am no expert on addresses and these issues, but evidently promoting internationalization may be a concept for us to aspire to, and maybe there are different views. So if possible, I would like to go deeper into this topic. Thank you.
Sergio, you wanted to say something? Go ahead.
Sí, soy Sergio. Solo quería secundar lo que decía.
I'm Sergio. I want to second Andres's view. We think along the same lines. It would be interesting for us to get together in these remaining days and maybe reach a regional position or idea and take that idea to the ALAC meeting. Perhaps we can spread our viewpoint to other ALAC components and maybe come up with some regional position, leveraging the diversity of our RALO. This is Andres. Do you have a specific stance? Have you taken a specific stance regarding the content of this contract? No, this is Sergio answering. No. I have doubts about certain questions or issues. I am of the impression that we have the United States as an important continental force, and on the other hand, we face ICANN's role and ICANN's position in this situation, and we need to consider the user's position. So we need to strike a balance.
Yeah, Wanda, remember that's a good opportunity to rethink about the IANA function. It's still function till now very well. That's not the problem. The problem is how in the future, who is going to be in charge of that? It's the model that we have here in ICANN that needs to be improved. Certainly, we'll need to englobe the idea of IANA because it's the basic of DNS in that. So that is the future that we're talking about. So it's, from my point of view, the importance of talking about that is to not talking about its function or not. It is, but that is not what we're talking about. It's how we're going to governance this kind of fantastic and deeply and the most important, infrastructure for our countries, wherever we are. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Wanda. You wanted to follow up, Carlton, or something?
No.
Okay, thank you. One of the other items on that I do want to just shift the agenda again because of our times and move to item number 5, which is a review of the Lacrallo mailing list translation.
Can I have two seconds?
Very well, Andres, go ahead.
Really brief. About policy, Jose is here. He's active in Lacrallo from a couple of years now, but most following the list, but he's a member of an ILS, a GADNC. Now he's for the fellowship program, and he did some work some time about the post-expiration domain recovery. Maybe he could, I don't know if I say represent, but he could be sent from Lacrallo to ALAC contributing in that vision, because this is one of the other public comments that are going on. And in the policy discussion session for tomorrow, we will be talking about that. There was... I remember yesterday people from ALAC could volunteer about following one topic or other, and nobody from our region volunteered to do to follow that topic. So I asked Jose. Sorry, were you, Carlton?
No, I'm trying to figure out which topic you're talking.
Yeah, could you just clarify, Andres, which topic are you referring to? Which
post-expiration domain recovery.
Okay.
So I suggest Jose could be one participant from Lacrallo in this topic and being active tomorrow in the ELEC policy discussion.
Thank you, Andres. Anything else?
Yeah, Jacqueline, can you introduce yourself? And also I want to, if there's people in the remote channel and they can speak, I would like them to introduce also.
Okay, hi, I'm Jacqueline Morris from the Trinidad and Tobago Computing Society. I'm the Associate Chair of the NOMCOM, and I'm just here, one, as a member of the TTCS to sit in on the meeting, and two, as the Associate Chair of the NOMCOM, to please remind everyone that we are looking for good candidates from Latin America and the Caribbean, especially for the ALAC position this year. We have 8 positions open, board, GNSO, CCNSO, and ALAC. And we would like you to encourage your friends, colleagues, and so on to volunteer. Or you can just submit names to us, and we will try and persuade them. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacqueline. I also see Cintra is here. Cintra, you want to introduce?
Cintra Sukranan, also from the Trinidad and Tobago Computer Society. I just wanted to mention as well that the Adobe Connect room, Lance, had myself and Maria had used the previous link. So if we could share that with them, the correct one.
Thanks, Cintra. And, well, I have to find out what is the exact link.
Who? Maria Lance.
Okay. Sorry. Just going back, Andres, yes, I think that post-exploration domain name recovery working group proposed final report is important, and the executive summary of that report is available in Spanish. So it deals with a series of recommendations regarding the exploration and to what extent registrants should be able to renew the domain name after they expire. So, I will encourage everybody to actually read that report, because I think it's a really it's an issue that really affects all registrants for that of any generic top-level domain.
Ask Jose if he's on it.
So, Jose, are you on it? Are you on that?
Sí, cuenten conmigo.
Yes, of course. This is Sergio, and you can definitely count on me. So this is Jose speaking. Of course, absolutely. I will literally dive into this matter, and Sergio, please feel free to count on me.
Just want to move ahead with the agenda.
Yes, please.
And agenda item number 5, a review of the Lakwalo mailing list translation. With us, we have some of the persons who have helped set up a new translation list that is different from the existing Lakwalo translation used for the Lakwalo English and Lakwalo Spanish. With us is David Clausen, I hope I pronounced your surname correctly, and also Ken Crispin, and also we have Christina Rodriguez, the Translations Management Manager. Thank you very much for attending. For those who don't know, in the last Lakwalo meeting in Cartagena, it was widely expressed, I think universally, that the existing translation is unsatisfactory, to put it mildly.
Nice word.
What we were told was that a new form of translation was going to be done, and that a beta test will be done within the coming months since Cartagena, and. Perhaps David or Kent might want to just simply talk about what exactly is this new translation before we give our feedback on it, on how it differs from the existing translation of the Lakwalo list.
Hi, this is Kent Crispin. The fundamental difference is that we are using a Google backend instead of a SysTrans backend. And there's some minor modifications to the software to support that. But other than that, the interface is basically the same. People, when we were asked to do this, we were told that they preferred the translations that Google did to the translations that SysTrans did. And so we set that up, and we tried some internal testing, and I will have to say that the reviews have been mixed. I'm not sure that it's an improvement or not. Unfortunately, I don't really speak Spanish well enough to be able to say. And to me, it's the same. So we just depend on your feedback to see whether this is worth doing or not, to tell you the truth.
Go ahead, Heidi. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Just very quickly. Sorry, Sergio. But just to let you know what this is in front of you, the front page is the original English version of the message. The second page is the old list translation, and then the third page is the list translation of the new one. So.
S- Jay, you wanted to say something? You had your hand raised? Sergio, you had your hand raised. I'm sorry, you wanted to say something? Go ahead.
Sí, yo, Sergio, quisiera...
It's Sergio speaking. I would like to say something about it. Good afternoon. I do speak Spanish. And this has improved a lot. Some formats, idiomatic or linguistic formats, are respected in our vocabulary, and this allowed us to understand the text in a better way. The only thing that I would object, and I don't know if it can be improved, is that we have ampersand. In some lines, you have ampersand characters, and numbers are decomposed. So I think this is a programming item or issue, and I think this could be improved. So I suggest seeing this in detail, but I think this can work for us. I don't know how this is in English, the translation from Spanish into English.
Gracias, Presidente.
Thank you, Chairman. I would like to say that now we can understand the idea of the paragraph. When we read the paragraphs, we can understand the idea. And this was not so before. So we still have problem with words in Spanish, for example, with the accents or with certain symbols appearing. And we have also problems with numbers when in the last page you see the schedules or the times. UTC, for example, is not understandable. UTC is an example. This is something we have to improve, but we are better now than before, absolutely. Thank you.
I will say this in English because I want maybe to explain to the people who is here why we were making so many criticisms to this system. Well, to add some, I agree with Silvia and with Sergio and with Matias. People who are bilingual maybe can know the difference. Some links are also broken and weren't broken in the previous system. Here there is a link that is broken. I think there is a substantial improvement of the system, so I'm glad about that. But I think that the main issue is that if this improves the possibility of expressing ourselves freely or not, if this helps or not. So maybe it's up to the people who is using that. So for me, I would have... I saw many other examples, but I would have shown an example from an original Spanish text into English, because the people from La Cralo who writes their emails in Spanish and doesn't know English is the highest population, let's say. So maybe this could be the test we need in order to find out if the system works or not. For me, it's good. I don't know the people who will actually use it because I don't use the system. But for me, it's a good improvement, and we should keep the system, because before we were thinking about erasing the system and come back to the plain text and no automatic translation. So for me, we should check the other example from Spanish to English, and if it is the same, we could change those the numbers issue, the links issue, and I don't know, the accents, and the rest is fine.
Thank you, Andres. Just to clarify what the links issue is, it's more, it's the HTTPS links. HTTP links are left untouched, as they should be, but the HTTPS links are being translated, which obviously is what breaks the link, obviously. I see Centro, and then I see Carlos. Go ahead, Centro.
I just wanted to endorse what Andres was saying, but instead of having a preference, because this example is just from English to Spanish, but we shouldn't have a preference, even though the majority of the correspondence on the mailing list does originate from Spanish to English. ICANN documents are all English to Spanish and that kind of thing. So to me, we should dovetail both of them. They should both have equal weight. Also, in terms of the issue with the links, maybe there can be certain words, names, and that kind of thing that would be stored and not translated.
Okay, hold on.
It's fine.
I'm so. Is there something coming? A question coming from the bridge? Okay. While we sort out the problem with the bridge, I'll just ask you to hold on to that. I see. Kent, you want to immediately respond to that?
Yes. I think the links problem is probably something that can easily be solved in software. I can't guarantee that, but I think so. The translation is done by an automated system over which ICANN has no control. So, we send this to Google, and Google translates it. So however well it does from English to Spanish or vice versa is purely under Google's control. We don't have any way of affecting that. So I suspect that the translation is equally good both ways. And there have been, I don't know if the beta testers would care to comment on that. There have been people who have been looking at this. I don't know that they have done much of the Spanish to English checking, though. Anyway, the software problem, I think, can be fixed easily. So,
thank you. Carlos?
Okay, gracias, Deb.
Thanks, Deb. I'm Carlos Aguirre. Regardless, the problem we have with the translations of emails, I've just talked with the person responsible for this, and she told me that they're getting involved into this topic and trying to find tools to solve the problems. They're working very well to find a solution for us. So I think, as Sergio said before, we have moved forward a lot in this respect. We have great translations. When we have the translations of Maya, they're very good. And when we receive the Rita's translations, they are really, really good. So I would also like to greet Rita because it was her birthday yesterday. An applause for her. Carton, please.
Can I just tell you, I use Gmail and I use the Google Translation engine inline, and it seems to work just fine. I get mail in Spanish, French, and I simply toggle on the translate and I say I want to translate this, and bam, it's done. I don't know if it makes sense to put too much effort into trying to fix this behind the scenes when we might adopt a free, available solution and impact it straight away. I am not so sure. I'm saying this to say that if you put the Google engine behind the scenes and you have to engineer on top of that to make it work, you might want to look at the cost-benefit analysis for that. That's all I'm saying. I believe that it is rational for you to take a look at that, because what we're using here is the Google translation engine directly in the Gmail interface. And I can demonstrate to you that I just simply say, I want this translated, and it does it, and I can understand it. I don't know what is the difference, but you might want to look at that.
Just a quick follow. All right, Jacqueline, go ahead.
Okay, just to follow up on Carlton, two things. One, there are many, many people who don't use the Gmail interface, so that, but the translation actually does work quite well. And I would put my vote, if there is any such, behind the continuing of using the Google Translate on the mailing list, because it does work a lot better than the Sistran one. And yet again, as I said, most people do not necessarily use the Gmail interface, so you can't like lock people into a particular interface to make it easier. So when I'm using like my phone, don't got no translate button on my phone and that kind of thing.
No, the big thing is it's the engine behind it. It's the same engine. So the point is, if I have to reverse engineer the engine to make it work, I might want to look at an alternate.
What reverse engineering of the engine do they have to do? Because the translation engine is the same one, right? It's just the interface to the yeah.
Google supplies an API to their translation interface, and that's all we're using. So we are just, it is the same engine, and there is a standard interface for it, and there isn't any real, it actually isn't too difficult to do. So there's nothing to reverse engineer, really.
Okay. I'm seeing some questions in the chat here, so let me just, I think Fatima is asking, are we going to keep both lists, one for English, one for Spanish?
Yes, that's
what she's saying, right? I think the intention, and clarify me if I'm wrong, the new system is going to be like three lists, if I understood the technical, one for English, one for Spanish, and one containing like the original emails in the original untranslated format. Or am I incorrect in saying this?
Every translated message has at the bottom a link to the original untranslated source. So if you look in both the new and the old interface, it's not a separate list, it's just a direct link to the untranslated source. It doesn't show at the bottom of this because it's been cut off, but on the previous one, on the SysTrans one, you can see down at the bottom it says original text in English is at this URL. So for every translated message, the original text is available just a click away. It's not a separate list, it's just a direct link to it. Yeah.
Okay, thanks for clarifying that. And a question from Centro was that can we forward some words that are not to be translated, example names? Is that possible? Is that possible with the programming?
It is. It's a mere matter of programming. There are a couple of options here. One would be to put in some kind of markers in the text that would enable a person to say, "Do not translate this." You know, maybe something like HTML that would say do not translate around some block of text, and then the translation engine would leave it alone. Another possibility would be that you supply a list of words, and that the software effectively does that same thing. Whenever it sees one of those words, it doesn't do a translation. That's very, very tricky because almost always translation, whether you want to translate or not, depends on context. And sometimes you want to translate, and sometimes you don't. And it's very difficult to make that machine smart enough to know when it is you want to translate and when you don't.
Just to add, one of the things I've noticed with the testing this is that I noticed that the names under the I think it's part, I don't know if it's part of Google or the work done by the, by you, was that the names weren't translated at all. So like, so and it, because I know that's a big problem with the existing translation, that our names get translated and sometimes you don't even know who actually posted it in the first place. So, Central, you wanted to follow up with that, or okay, I'll see you. Go ahead, Central first, and then Carlton.
Not just with names, as in for persons, but also in terms of organizations. I mean, can we effectively just give it like a string, say like Trinidad and Tobago Computer Society, that should stay as that rather than be translated?
The, as I said, there you could. I mean, it, that mechanism doesn't exist at present, but it certainly could be put in. And as I said, I can think of at least two ways to do it. One is that you give me a list of such strings, and another is that I tell you that you just put this little mark around the string and it won't translate it. The, from my perspective, the mark around the string is much simpler, because then I don't have to have any intelligence in the program that says when to translate or not. I just see the mark and I don't translate. If you give me a list of strings not to translate, then it becomes tricky, because parts of that string may appear in other words or places, and then they'll be all of a sudden not translated out of a, in the midst of a context where it should be translated. And it's very hard to know when that's appropriate to do that and when it's not. So it would be easy to put in some kind of marker that says don't translate. That I could do in a day or two probably. But to do a list of words that you don't want to have translated, that's a more complicated matter. Also, I could should point out that these are not mutually exclusive. I mean, we could do both of these things. And we could have a list of common, you know, terms that you didn't want translated, and we can just have that in a list. And we could also have these special markers for people who wanted to have more control over the translation.
Okay. All right. Well, actually, I see. Well, actually, I see four people here. All right, Christina. Then I see Lance, then Sergio, then Jacqueline. Christina, please.
Just a thought. Maybe it might be even more useful and simpler if instead of them giving you a list, I'm thinking from a machine translation point of view. I know that when you do machine translation or what it translates, or when you get assisted translation with translation memories, what gets translated are actually the segments. So on a context like this, like in Google, for example, couldn't they maybe this tell you exactly what they want to translate and know what they don't want to translate? And if them, if they want to translate something, why not just be the message they want to send? So everything else within the mail does not get translated, like dates, URLs, you know, links and all that. So let's say you configure the Google Translate to say, all the text within these columns or whatever, you know, or from here to here is to be translated. So every time they send a message, they open, you know, like a paragraph or a segment, and they indicate that, that that's what they want to translate.
The question is, how do you indicate that?
Markers.
Oh, so this is a generalization of the marker idea? Then?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that instead of using the markers to say, don't translate this word, that's the other one and this other one, which makes it more complicated for the machine to understand, because as you said, one same word could be used in different contexts, and maybe at some in a segment I do want to translate that word, but I've already told the machine not to translate, you know, or the system not to translate that word, and the system does not know in which instance it's supposed to be translated or not. So instead of indicating the system to not translate something, why don't we indicate the system, okay, translate this. Between these markers, this is the, which will be actually the actual message that you're sending. And in that message, you need to make, you will make sure that you don't indicate dates or anything like that. And that could be actually, in some other place of the map.
I must confess that I'm a little concerned about that, because I think what you really want to have happen is you want the translation to be as transparent as possible.
Exactly.
You want the translation to occur when you want it, and you mm-hmm. don't want it to occur when you don't want it, mm-hmm. and you want to do the minimal amount of mm-hmm. having to indicate things. And since, I think it's because we have two Sorry. On here, yeah. since the purpose, you know, it's going from one list to another. Mm-hmm. So the assumption is that you're sort of, the whole point of that is that you're translating to get from there to there. And so that, well, there's so that? Many possibilities yeah. here that it's hard to make a definitive statement.
Okay. Well, I don't, because I realize we're going to take a long time on this, and I know we wanted to speak on this. Mike. Jacqueline, sorry.
My quick question is, how many of these comments are from the actual test list? Because I've been following the test list, and the Google Translate does not translate people's names. It does break some of the links, but it really hasn't been doing too badly with guessing what it should and should not translate, as opposed to Sistran, which always calls Sergio Salinas I carry. Right, but it hasn't done that to you on the... But it hasn't done that on the Google at all. It doesn't translate. I've not seen it translating names. So a lot of this discussion, to me, seems to be not applicable to the new testing list. It seems to be applicable to the old list that we've already agreed has lots of problems. Yeah. And if so, if people are finding that in the new list, then yeah, go ahead with the conversation. But if it is the old list you're talking about, then we could stick a pin right there because it doesn't apply.
Okay. Thanks, Jacqueline. I think if you have to think too much about what you're going to insert flags as to what to translate and what not to translate, you're just going to, I think, be, you know, it just adds to the difficulty of sending up messages. Yeah. So perhaps, if I may suggest a way forward, and also just to close off this topic. Okay, David, quick response. Go ahead.
Maybe we should just, you know, convert the list to use this new mechanism. And then, you know, I'm very willing to hear whatever comments people may have. And as we get more people using it, I'm sure we'll get more comments. And if there are improvements, then we'll be happy to make them.
That's the other way of doing it. I was wondering whether to just simply expand the existing translation, the beta test to more people and continue to get more feedback. And, Yeah, I know. And, I want to just close off this thing, but I do see Lance, and I'm so sorry, Lance, for not responding earlier, and I'm sorry for not being in the chat room to respond to you. Is it that you're able to speak it, or is it the question you've posted in the chat? I'm just going to read. I'm sorry, Lance. If we may have, we seem to have some technical problems in our bridge, unfortunately. We'll get a few more seconds. But I think definitely. I would like other persons to really join this beta test list rather than, I think, switch. Let me ask you, is it very difficult to switch the list? I mean, from this beta test to the replace it while we're trying to get Lance on it?
No, it's not very difficult.
It's not difficult at all.
I just change where it goes.
Okay. And it's not like the existing list archives would be lost in any way?
I think... it would just be changing the underlying translation tool, and it wouldn't be changing the list structure at all.
Okay.
It would just, you know, the messages would just now go through the new interface, and you wouldn't it would presumably, if I think, would just be completely transparent.
Okay. All right. Well, let's be cautious and be on the safe side. Let's just simply expand the beta testers. Currently, there's only like 4 beta testers of this. Who else wishes to actually be on this beta test list and start trying to translate? Is anybody in the room wants to volunteer on that to go on the list?
Dave, this is Sergio. I would like to be on the list in order to check how this works.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay, great. And, right, so are we able to get Lance in or not? No?
I just messaged Lance. He said that we should be hearing him now.
Okay, Lance, then, well, this will be the last comment on this topic because we want to move ahead on it. Go ahead, Lance.
Dev, this is Sergio speaking. Maria Mendes is telling me that she cannot receive Lance properly. There's bad communication, and she can hardly hear him.
Apologies for the technical issues there. And I'm sorry, Lance. We want to close off this issue, though, because we have spent a lot of time. But I am truly grateful, though, to David, Kent, and Christina for taking the time. As you can tell, this is a very important aspect.
Well, it seems Lance is here.
No. Unfortunately, we're going to have to just close it off. I'm so sorry, Lance. But thank Christina and Kent and David. We spent a lot of time on this issue, but I think the reason why we're spending a lot of time on this issue is because it is so very important for us to understand each other. And it's like the translation on the list is something that's very important for us to understand each other, to understand what each of us is saying to each other, and while there may be some small flaws with this new beta test, I think it's a step in the right direction. So thank you all. Thank you for those comments and your work done on this so far. Thank you. So now we started late and now we're just reached 3:30. What do you like to suggest we want to do, Sergio? Go ahead.
Do we have time?
This is Sergio speaking. There's something I will put forward to the ALAC, but I would like to discuss it here. Every time on every occasion I attended the meetings, I have been given a thumb drive with documents in several languages. But when we open the Spanish documents or the documents in Spanish, so let me go back on my words. Every time I attend a meeting, shall I wait? What shall I do? Okay, I start again. Every time I attend an ALAC meeting, I find that I am given a thumb drive that contains folders with files in several languages. When I click on the Spanish folder, with any luck, I find 2 or 3 documents in Spanish, and the rest of the documents are in English. By chance, a member of our RALO on this occasion wanted to receive the documents so that he or she could participate in the meeting. Now, had the documents been in Spanish, our opportunities to participate would have been higher. So, once again, please, if we have a Spanish folder, please let us include all the documents that ELA considers important in Spanish so that they can be disseminated and replicated within our RELO. Thank you.
I mean, and I think obviously that will be taken on advisement. As you know, most of the policy documents are still English only, so it may simply be a lack of availability of those documents available. I'm sure that if there are documents available in Spanish, that I'm sure it would have been included. So.
Sí, sí.
What I'm saying here is that we need to do our best so that these documents may be translated before the meetings take place. Sergio, this is Andres speaking now. I think this is a policy and translation issues and a budgetary issue as well. The staff includes the documents that are available, evidently. And every time the fiscal year starts, at large, as a whole, and LACRELO or LACRALO is leading the process, and Hong also leads the process, we are the leaders in asking for translations, and we see a higher budgetary allocation year on year as regards translations. Then we have to take into account the board resolutions that need to be published in the five languages, but there's nothing much we can do right here and right now. Okay, I just wanted to inform you of this situation, just that.
That I think getting documents translated as at the beginning of the start of the comment period is one of the recommendations from Work Team D, the at-large improvements. So, and I believe one of the other work teams is involved with translation, and I can't remember which work team it is. I'm sure Seth will magically answer me, Dennis.
Yes, B, Dave.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yes, so I think one of those recommendations do come up, obviously, for ALAC to consider that the ALAC reps will consider this as of importance and express support for it. Dave, go ahead, Seth.
Thank you, Dave. I'm sorry. Actually, probably of more interest to you than the letter B of the work team is just one point, and that is that I just want to assure you, Sergio and everyone, that the documents get into that folder in, let's say, not the most systematic, prioritized way. It's a bit of a document dump, and it is not as though there are many documents that are of enormous importance that do not get translated. The important ones, hopefully, or at least that's been the goal, is to get them translated. Of course, as Andres said, the issues are time, which, frankly, we as staff, you know, it is part of our guilt in that regard, and we'll try to improve that, absolutely. But then there is the budgetary side also, which, of course, we as staff is somewhat innocent of. But I just want you to know that it's not as though you're missing out on that much. We kind of just throw a lot of documents in there. Thank you for the point, Sergio. I'll get it back to Heidi.
Okay. Since we started late, and I don't really want to extend it too late because we really have other meetings to attend, I think there's just one quick item agenda I want to bring up, and that is, of course, the officer positions. As you know, the chair and the secretary at terms expires in April, and the call for candidates has been issued. So Andreas is willing to stand as chair, and myself, Devananda, is willing to stand as secretariat for one more year.
So I believe the deadline for if anybody else wishes to submit a candidacy for that, either the chair or the secretariat, and I'm trying to find the email here. I believe
four,
it's in...
4 months? Four weeks?
4 weeks, yeah. So I think that sometime at the, towards the end of... towards the end of March. It's on the mailing list. But before I close off, is there anybody wishes to see any other business? Going once? Going twice? Okay. Thank you all for attending this call, and thank for all the attendance.
I have one. Thank you, Deb, for chairing it. You did a wonderful job. I think this should be like a more stable policy from Lacrallo. This doesn't affect the function, the role of Lacrallo chair, being the chair of the mainly teleconferences. And we look for people volunteering for do this in the next teleconferences. I think this this is an important initiative in order of get some engagement and participation. So if there are candidates, if they want to be the chair for the next monthly teleconferences, they email me. Thank you, Dev.
Okay. And I'll just want to formally just also apologize for the connection problems for the bridge. Hopefully at the next Lacrallo call, going through Adigo, we won't have these problems. And I apologize to those remote participants. And thanks to the actual translators here in the room with us. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you.